Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
You are a masterpiece crafted by the hand of God for the purpose of doing something good in this world. But what does it mean to be God's masterpiece in a world that constantly tries to redefine us? How do we hold on to our true identity in Christ when all the influences of life blur the lines of our identity? You are being shaped for a purpose, a calling to make a difference, to do good. The old is gone. The new has come. Your mistakes, your regrets, your shortcomings, they're all part of your story, but they're not the end of it. You are a new creation in Christ, chosen and adopted into the family of God, so deeply loved. Let's uncover the layers of our God-given identity, peeling back the false narratives and rediscovering the true story of who we are in Christ. Come as you are, a mess and a masterpiece, broken and beloved, chosen and cherished. When we truly grasp who we are in Christ, it changes everything.
Well, hi. Howdy. Welcome. I'm Stacy Sublett. This is my son, Levi.
Hi.
And we are glad to have you with us for another episode of Calvary Online. We have just begun a new series on our identity. We're calling it the Poema Project, which comes from the Greek word from Ephesians 2:10 that it gets translated masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. We are the best thing that God does, his best work. And we're looking to help people answer the age-old question, who am I? So we're trying to figure out where our value and our worth and our identity come from, because everything flows from us knowing who we are. Last week, Dan made the point that our identity is received, not achieved. We talked about that a little bit. How did that land with you, Levi?
Well, I think I definitely agree with it. It's kind of one of those things where, like through the promises that God has for us, we can kind of like land on realizing that no matter what we're striving for, what we want, or what we're trying to pursue, that our identity really is just rock solid through our identity in Christ.
Okay.
And so for me, it actually kind of made me think a little bit about my own life and how, like, when I was younger, I really struggled with kind of understanding where my identity came from. And so it was like I was trying to fill it with like pursuing things like my friendships, you know, or like my job,
yeah,
hobbies, things like that. When really none of those things ended up, you know, fast forward 10 years later and a lot of things like that fell apart,
yeah,
you know?
Okay. So that's a great transition to thinking about where do you think lots of people look to find their identity?
I think kind of what I was saying is just these parts of our lives that are from the world, things that like take up our time and our energy, and things that we want too, like I was saying, like hobbies,
yeah,
careers, friendships and relationships.
I think a lot of times our identity is based on some of the good things. I mean, they could be good things, right? So mm-hmm. Whether you're married or not, or what family you're part of, or like you said, job, education, career, clothing, social status,
yeah,
you know, all of those things kind of play into, and they're not bad things, they're just insufficient, really. But there are also negative things,
right,
that shape our identity, trauma, mm-hmm, hurt, things that have been done to us, mistakes in our past, mm-hmm, failures.
Addictions, things like that.
Yeah, brokenness also plays a big part in shaping our identity. But that doesn't really get at the heart of what we're talking about and who God says we are. I'm going to ask you to share a little bit more about your story, but kind of to set the stage today, Jesus tells a story in three of the Gospels actually record the story of the parable of the soils. You know, it's kind of known in both directions. But in that story, Jesus talks about a farmer who goes out to sow seed, and the seed lands on different types of soil. First, it lands on the path, then it lands on rocky ground, and then it lands on ground that's also got some thorns and weeds mixed in, and then it lands on good soil. And the only one that produces fruit is the seed that lands on good soil. Then it's kind of funny. His disciples have no idea. Well, what is, like, we don't get what you're talking about. So he does explain it to them. I think it's interesting. He doesn't explain it to the big crowd. He just kind of explains it to his followers. But the soil that falls on, or the seed that falls on good soil is the one that produces the harvest. He says 30, 60, or 100-fold. But then he talks about soil, or the soil that chokes it out, and so it doesn't grow, or it's really shallow, so it springs up, but it doesn't have roots. But the one that really got me is the hard path soil that the seed can't get down into. And do you remember what Jesus says happens to that seed?
Isn't like birds come and eat it?
Yeah, the birds come and they eat the seeds, and Jesus says that's what the enemy does. So he says that God's trying to sow seed, and some of the soil of our heart is often so hard that the enemy is able to just snatch that away before it even begins to take root. Jesus wasn't necessarily talking about our identity, but it's not too much of a stretch to see that, like, there is an enemy who doesn't want your identity, my identity, to be rooted in who God says we are. And so in those places, those times when God has tried to sow those seeds in our lives, the enemy works to snatch those things before they can begin to grow and bear kingdom fruit. But that's really what Jesus wants to see happen in our lives.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that we can lose our identity. And sometimes that's even before it begins to take shape. You said you went through a period where you struggled with identity, and your identity wasn't rooted in who God says you are. So I wanted you to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thinking back over the course of my life, there definitely was like a distinct moment where I kind of thought I knew who I was and like what I wanted to do, or at least like what I wanted to go try and do to figure that stuff out. I mean, you're my dad, so you knew what the house that I grew up in.
I am familiar with it, yes.
But like when I was starting to become an adult, I kind of hit this point where I was just kind of had some doubts about what I was believing. I wasn't sure. I didn't really have like that. I never had that experience that really made like my faith my own. You know what I mean? At that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of ended up just walking away from the life that I had known, and started making all of these choices that I thought were going to result in me ending up where I wanted to be. You know, things like having fun, spending time with friends, and, forming, you know, various relationships, and just filling my life with all these things that I thought were going to like satisfy me and fill up this like hole. I mean, the long story short is that it didn't end up working like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of a long process to realize that it wasn't working.
How long for you?
About 5 years, 5 or 6 years probably, give or take, when you really want to call the start of it and the end of it. But In those years, I had moved out of the house and was, you know, kind of just like working jobs that weren't like jobs that were building me up or encouraging me. And I was friends with people that weren't like necessarily like bad people or anything like that, but they weren't the kind of influence that I should have been around, I think. They weren't helping me grow or develop into something that was a better version of who I was supposed to be. And basically, it led me down this kind of a dark place where I lost my hope and was kind of just like not happy. Yeah. I was pretty angry, I would say. And the short of it is that I eventually moved back home, and I was in a pretty serious, or at least I thought so, relationship that had kind of fallen apart and ended pretty messily. And my friends, I kind of just stopped hanging out with them because I knew I started to realize there was something I was missing. Like, I was like, I shouldn't feel this way. I didn't always feel this way. You know, what happened? And along the way, one of the things I think is so funny to think about is that, when I moved back into the house, one of the things that you and Mom told me was that if I wanted to live there, I had to go to church on the weekends. And I was like, man, that stinks. I hadn't gone to church in a really long time at that point. And I remember I thought I gamed the system, because I was like, at the time Calvary had the Saturday night services. So right. I was like, I'll just go Saturday night at like 6 o'clock or whatever, and I can sleep in on Sundays. I thought I was so smart. So it was back to, I still remember it was the, was it 28,000 Sunsets was the series. Do you remember that?
I remember that series.
It's a long time ago now, but all of these specific things had happened that led me into this spot where my heart was like empty. I had no vision of what my future was going to look like. I had no friends to kind of like occupy that space. My hobbies weren't really giving me anything, because I was just in this dark little hole, I guess.
Yeah.
And the thing that I hadn't realized at the time was that it was also that my heart was still for the first time in a really long time. Mm. That there weren't these like fake things that I was trying to like fill myself with, to find worth in, to find my identity in. They were not, you know, affecting me anymore. I was kind of just sitting, and I happened to be at church, and it was like almost, it was almost just like God put a hand in my back and was just like, hey, you know, I missed you. I've been here. It's been a while. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like I had this peace that, to be honest, it's, my life hasn't been the same since then.
Right.
But, that was kind of like that first like aha moment where I realized that like, the stuff that I grew up hearing, the stuff in the Bible that God says about us, that I really am his child, that he loves me, and that he made me, you know, with a purpose in mind, like that stuff started becoming real for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think going from there, I joke and say, yeah, and since then everything's been super easy, and you know, my life's perfect, and I don't ever make mistakes. But that's not true.
Oh.
And I think that's kind of one of the cool things that I've learned as I've gotten older from this moment. Now it's been, because that started, now it's like almost 10 years ago, which is crazy to right. think that I'm that old now. But the cool thing is that like as it's my responsibility not to just leave it alone, right? Like, it's my responsibility to pursue God and to, like, strengthen that relationship with him and, like, live in those promises that he has for me and in store for me to kind of, like, you know, further myself down towards what my calling is.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot, our calling, and that's deeply rooted in our identity. So you were trying to flesh out your identity and figure out who you were, and you were looking for that from a job. You were looking for that in a relationship with a girlfriend, with your friends, with hobbies. None of those are bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can be bad influences, but
right.
but none of, in and of themselves, none of those things are bad. But they, like I said earlier, they weren't enough.
Right.
They're insufficient. That's not where our identity is supposed to come from. So you went through this dip, kind of hit the bottom. One of the other things that Dan shared last week is the idea that when it's initially offered, grace can be offensive.
Yeah.
I know, just because I know your story, that there were points before that night that you're describing, that night at at Harvest Fields when things kind of broke for you. There were points that, that we tried to steer you back towards towards an identity that's rooted in who Jesus says you are, but you weren't ready to receive that.
No, definitely not. I think that's kind of like one of the things that coming to understand that the whole, like, at first when you're offered grace, it's like, well, I don't need it. You know what I mean? Like, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing what I want to do or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. It almost took, at least for me, it took like all of the pieces falling apart. You know what I mean? Which right. I would like to think that that isn't true for everybody. But I guess I was just being really stubborn. You know what I mean? I really was holding on tight to this belief that, like, I was like, no, I can figure it out.
Right.
You know, that, like, I, you know, it's not, you know, it's just, yeah,
I think that's a pretty human response, is that, well, I got myself in this mess. Yeah. I can get myself out, or yeah. I'm smart enough to be able to figure it out. But I think for a lot of us, for me, I'm your dad, and way down the road. But I still find myself saying, I'm at the stage of life where I should have this figured out. Yeah. And sometimes we just don't. And when, whether it's a person or whether it's the Spirit of God stepping in to say, here, I can help. I don't need your help. I'm old enough to, I can figure this out. And that's, so to move from trying to earn your identity or figure out your identity to receiving your identity and to accepting grace, what were the pieces for you that had to fall into place?
That's a good question. I think, like, putting aside the kind of, like, lies and stuff that, like, the so one of the things that we talked about a little earlier was just the kind of, like, these pressures that are kind of, like, always there. And I think as I stepped out of that and kind of, like, into this new kind of understanding of what God really had in store for me, or really has in store for me, was learning how to be responsible with that kind of stuff. Mm. So, like, in my life, one of the big things that I did to pursue God more in my life was just spending time reading the Bible, okay. spending time praying and talking with Him.
Yeah.
Like learning that praying is just as simple as, like, me talking to God was, like, such a, it sounds so easy and simple, but there was something that I, like, fundamentally didn't understand, you know what I mean? Like, worried about saying things right and all that stuff. But, like, learning that it really is just, like, talking to Him like a friend, you know what I mean? Or, right. you know, more than that, but like, that was huge for me. And I think learning that, that the stuff that God says about me in the Bible, like, how loved I am, and that there is, like, a purpose to what He has for me.
Yeah.
Realizing that those are, like, rock solid foundations to build my life on, and, like, what I fundamentally believe, like, that was just a game changer. Do you know what I mean?
Let me interrupt you for just a second.
Go ahead.
But if you don't know those things, yeah. if you don't pick up the Bible and read it, how do you ever know who God says you are? Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important piece. I don't want to gloss over that. Like, it sounds kind of trite. Well, pray and read your Bible.
Yeah, right.
But those are stumbling blocks to a lot of folks. And so I love the fact that you reminded us that praying is just like talking to a friend, having a conversation. So, and you need to know what God says about you if you're going to put that into practice in your life. One of the other things you said earlier was that it was the first time in a long time that your heart, your life, your mind had been still. Mm-hmm. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So earlier I was kind of just talking about how I was, like, constantly trying to find these answers myself. Mm-hmm. And I think the key word there is, like, striving for stuff. And like sometimes what God really wants us to do is just to stop, just right. to take a breath, rest for a minute, and let him, you know, do what he's doing. And like obviously you can't just do that all the time, but it is important, like taking time to stop, you know, being busy and stop constantly filling my life with just whether it was job, and that's not to say that I'm not busy now. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm probably more busier, but
busier.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the important part is, you know, carving out that time to have like coordinated stillness in my life, so that I can, you know, kind of make sure it's like a moment to like reset a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To kind of like exhale all of the stuff going on and just say like, all right, God, I'm here. And I may not fully know, you know, what I'm doing all the time, but I know that you're providing for me and I'm trusting you to lead me where I'm supposed to go, you know?
Yeah. I think that's important. What role, you talked about your friends, you talked about the relationship with a girlfriend that you thought was serious to you. So what role did community play in you coming to a better understanding of your identity?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, way bigger than I realized, at first.
Okay.
I don't want to be like, I am so thankful for you and for mom and for people, like Will and Lily and, you know, like there's a whole long list of people that, when I was lost or whatever, they didn't stop loving me well. There was probably moments where I annoyed the heck out of you with being stubborn with stuff. Yeah.
Or two.
But just knowing that, you know, when I really fell flat and like kind of the pieces of my life fell apart and I had really no idea where I was supposed to go. At one point I thought I had this whole idea of what my future was going to look like. And in the span of like, I don't know, it felt like a couple days, but it was probably more like a year or so.
Right.
Really just started piece by piece falling apart. And it led me to this spot where I was like, I had no idea what I was going to do. And I was, I consider myself super blessed and super lucky that I had, a network of community of people at Calvary that were praying for me and loved me, real friends that weren't just my friends for, you know, situational things, but actually like cared about me and my heart,
right.
You know what I mean? And they didn't leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of like how you guys made sure that if I was going to move back home, I had to go to church. Like that was, you kind of just forced me back into the community. And it was a good thing because I wasn't alone. You know what
right.
I mean? And like with Jesus, I just didn't realize that at the time, you know what I mean? But I wasn't alone. I had people around me that cared about me, that wanted to make sure. A huge one too was, I had worked a bunch of jobs, that I even would say, like looking back at them, like I enjoyed what I did. Like I liked, you know, cooking and stuff.
Yeah,
I liked being
and
a
you
cook.
Were good at it.
Yeah, it was fun. I still really enjoy cooking now as a hobby. So it's like kind of funny, but those situations and environments weren't life giving. My bosses mm-hmm. only cared if I was going to show up for work the next day.
Right.
When everything started falling apart, unexpectedly, I ended up working at Calvary Kid Care for mom. And I was like, I remember when I first started, I was like, this is probably going to be a couple months while I figure out what I'm going to do. And then I worked there for like 5 or 6 years, you know what I mean? Almost that entire chunk of time from when I got out of that bad spot until now. So it's just kind of, it's just interesting. And so like, you know, obviously my boss was my mom and she loves me. Some people will say that she treats the kids that work for her a little stricter than the rest of her employees though.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like I had a boss that all of a sudden was investing. I saw what it looked like when a leader, invests in the people that are working around them and, builds a culture that is, you know, reflective around the love of God. Like that's just cool. It was something that I'd never seen before. It's also really cool that I got to see my mom be the one kind of, and other people too, but like her as like the architect of that was really cool. And it was super influential in my life. It's also where I met my wife. So that's pretty cool.
It's also a good thing. So the pieces that I heard you say is number one, there was a humility to admit I don't have this.
Yeah.
And a recognition that what I'm doing is not working. The things that I've tried haven't gotten me where I want to be, to a healthy place. And you were at a point where you were ready to receive what God said about you, that ready to receive that grace. You removed some of the negative influences and replaced them with good influences. Yeah. God allowed you to find community that was really helpful. Mm-hmm. And you began to listen to who God said you were. So at Calvary, we talk a lot about these three paths, the path of listening, the path of learning, and the path of leaning. And it's not enough just to listen, to hear, and to learn what God says. You have to take action. I mean, you talked about that a little bit, the responsibility on our part to act on these things. It's not enough to just know. That's one of the things that I find really helpful about this journal. Every day there's a part that it's listen to the scripture, learn what does it say to me, for me, about me. But there's a okay, what do I do with this piece? Dan said in using this journal, the way he was going to try to use it, he actually talks about it in the front. He starts by praying this Poema Project prayer and reading Ephesians 2:10, the reminder that we are God's masterpiece, the best thing that he does, and he has an identity for us. Then work through the devotional for the day and close by two things. Number one, in the back, there are a lot of who am I statements that help reinforce what God says about our identity, who we really are, who he created us to be. And these are universal. Yeah. These are like if you're a human being, this applies to you.
Yeah, well, and earlier you were talking about how like if you don't know, how are you supposed to know?
Right.
And so that's a great place for if you want to know more or you need a place to start, if you're like, oh, wow, well, what are some more of these promises? Like that's a really awesome resource to kind of get started on some of that stuff.
Yeah. And the other thing that I like is the I will statement. Mm-hmm. So after you listen, learn, and lean, the lean is the part that leads into the, okay, so this week or today, I will, and then you write out an action statement.
Right.
So I love putting those things into practice because it's not enough just to know the truth. You have to, you have to act on it.
Yeah.
But when you begin to do that, it definitely pays dividends in your life. If you don't have one of these journals, but you'd like one, you'll see an email address on the screen. If you'll send an email to that address, we'll make sure that you get one of these no matter where you live. So Earl in Kansas, if you don't have one, you probably have one, Earl, but we can get you one. Or if you want a second one to give away to a friend or to a family member, let us know. We'll be glad to get one to you. But those are really good tools. You'll find more tools online at the Calvary website. We can probably put that website on the screen as well. But there are great resources for you to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. We believe that God wants us to know who he created us to be so that we can walk in that. He has a plan for our lives. We say that it sounds so trite, but it's so true. He has a plan for us, and he's not hiding it from you. He's not playing hard to get and, you know, like, well, I hope you figure it out, but I'm going to be over here keeping it close to my, you know, that's not how he does. He wants you to know because his way is the best way. That's what I've come to realize is that God's way is the best way. And when he corrects me when I miss it, it's not because he's mad at me. It's because he knows what's best and wants me to walk with him. So I'm really proud of you, Levi. The choices that you've made and the direction that your life has taken. And, you know, you said earlier, you're not perfect. You don't get everything right. But God doesn't expect that either. So I'm thankful for you. Thankful for you guys, too. Thanks for tuning in and being part of this. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for the hope that we have that we can connect with you and we can hear you, really hear you. Thank you for the ways that you have shaped our lives and for the work that you want to do in each one of us. I thank you for the promise that you are faithful to complete the things you start in us. I know that's a lot, but we're grateful. Would you please keep working? Help us to hear you and to put into practice the things that you say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.